Exodus chapter 3, let me thank our brother Paul for leading the meeting, for his very gracious words of welcome. It's my joy again to be here. It's a great privilege to be with you this week. As I've said other nights, it's an honour to be asked to come and take this Youth Challenge week and to be back in Ballymena. I do thank you very much indeed. Let me thank the girls for those two messages and songs. Very, very good. Really enjoyed it. And we trust that the Lord will bless those messages to all of our hearts. So Exodus chapter 3, please. Returning here again tonight. Exodus 3, reading together from verse number 1. As our brother said, by the way, just before we read here, tomorrow night is the last night. So let's pull out all the stops for that meeting and seek to get others in under the word tomorrow night. There will certainly be part of that message will be toward the unsaved. So if any unsaved friends tomorrow, see them, text them, ring them, whatever you do, and say, would you come to a meeting tomorrow night down here? And you never know, you could just be the instrument that the Lord would use to bring that person to a meeting, and that person would be saved. That would be a marvelous thing, the marvelous thing for you to be a part of, and therefore you do that tomorrow. You think, you pray tonight, pray in the morning, Lord, who could I ring about this meeting tonight? And you do that. And we trust the Lord will bless all your efforts and all your endeavours to get unsaved and others into the meeting. So Exodus chapter 3, reading together, please, from verse number 1. Exodus 3, verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abram, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have met with us. And thou let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of the word to every heart. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. And just with our Bibles open, and having read the word of God, and as has been our custom, just taking a moment here before the Lord, as I have said every other night, all too soon the benediction is going to be pronounced. All too soon this meeting will end. We will, in the will of the Lord, be on our way home again. And therefore, let us just pray, all that love the Lord, let us pray that God will draw very near, touch every soul, touch every heart. I don't know the need of every heart in this meeting, but God knows it. Therefore, let us all pray, let all believers be praying in these moments. God will come. Spirit will move. Christ will be exalted. Our blessed God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his blood, we approach again the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer, humbly fall before his feet, for nobody ever perished there. Thank thee for the blood of Christ that brings us nigh. Thank thee for that blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Thank thee for the blood of Christ which cleanses from all sin. That blood that justifies. That blood that sanctifies. That blood by which we overcome the evil one. And that blood by which we will see our eternal home. O God, we bow before thee. Worship thee as our God. In the name of Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, and we come as ever, as the mortal before the immortal, the foolish before the infinitely wise, the sinful before one that is immaculate in holiness. We come as those that are oft times perplexed about what to do before one that knows the end from the beginning. We come as creatures of time before the God of eternity. We come as the finite before the infinite, and coming we bow, and we bless thee that before the hills in order stood, our earth received its freedom. From everlasting to everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. Lord, abide with us tonight. We have no desire to go through the motions of these meetings. Bind the devil in every power of darkness, standing by faith into the victory of the cross, pleading all the merits of the blood, praying that the blood of Christ will prevail over this meeting. The atmosphere will be purged, will be closed in with God. Our hearts and minds will be riveted upon divine truth. Bind every power of darkness that would seek to distract the minds of every head bowed now before thee. Glorify your Son. Lord, we need thee. The town needs thee. The land and nation needs thee, O God. Lord, won't you visit us again? In these latter days of time, come and give the church great power. Come and raise up missionaries of the cross, preachers of the everlasting gospel. Restore the backslidden. Let the fire blaze again in hearts where it has went to a smoking flax. Hear prayer tonight. I confess before thee my complete inadequacy. Deal what's before me now in the meeting. Empty me now of self and of sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. Forgive all my sins, O God, I pray. Give now that divine anointing, that holy baptism, which the Holy Ghost does give. Lord, grant it now, we pray, the baptism to preach, the baptism to hear with profit. Close us in, O God, close us in. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last night, we looked at the life of Moses again, and we got as far as this scene at the backside of the desert in Exodus chapter 3. We noted that Moses was there keeping his father-in-law's flock. Now, we noted that the backside of the desert, there were no bright lights there, no allurements, just a man alone with his God. And we noted that it was a blessed thing when an individual is content there and content with nothing but the Lord. A man that's content just to go about his daily life. Content just to have Christ. Content just to know Him and to be alone with Him. But we know that it was to a scene like that, and to a man in that position, that the Lord came to Moses in that scene with the burning bush there in Exodus chapter 3 verse 2. We know that some very simple but profound lessons. Moses did not ignore the scene. Look at verse 2 and 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. We know that that was Christ, a pre-incarnation appearance. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And in verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And only when Moses turned aside to see, only when Moses stops and turns aside to see what is the meaning of this great sight, only then does more light come and the Lord speaks to Moses. And we noted the importance of when we are doing our daily readings and the Lord maybe quickens a verse to us, the importance of just stopping and stopping at that portion and saying, now what is the Lord saying to me here? And as it were, like Moses, taking a closer look to see what the Lord has drawn your attention to. Because when the Lord quickens a verse to you, you've got to stop. You've got to see exactly what the Lord is saying to you. And like Moses, it was only when Moses stopped and to have a look to see what this was all about, it was only then that the call came. It would have been unthinkable for Moses just to have seen this fish, had a quick glance, walked on with the flock. That would just have been unthinkable. And it would be unthinkable for us, for the Lord to speak to us by the Holy Book, when we would be beside our bed or wherever we would be having our quiet time, and not to take a closer look. It would be a disaster. You've got to take a closer look when that happens. You've got to stop. You've got to see what is the Lord actually saying to me here. And verse 4, look what it says. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now do you note that? It was when the Lord saw that Moses gave the situation the attention that it deserved that the Lord called unto him out of the midst of the bush, Moses, Moses. I say to you, it was a life-changing moment in the life of this man. It's a life-changing moment in the life of any man when God calls him. I'll tell you more. It is a life-changing moment in the life of any individual when God speaks to them. It is to be taken serious because it's God that has spoken. And there's something to see. And there's something that you don't miss. And therefore, I say to you, take that little thought. And when you're reading tonight, or tomorrow morning, or wherever your work schedule allows you to have your quiet time, keep this in mind. When you're reading down a chapter, maybe a chapter that you have read 1,000 times, but you read it down it, and all of a sudden, what's that? And the Lord speaks. You've got to stop, and you've got to have a look. You've got to look closer. You've got to see exactly what the Lord's saying there. And it would be good at that moment to bow your head and say, Lord, I need more light. What are you showing me here? What are you saying to me? We know that Moses' response, whenever the Lord said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I, or here I, as it is in the original. He doesn't let his mouth run off with him here. He realizes it's a defining moment in his life. He's in the very presence of the Lord. And then where we really got to last night, the Lord said, "Draw not nigh hither, Moses. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." Don't get too familiar, Moses. This is not level ground. I'm God, your man. I'm immortal. Thou art mortal. I'm all sufficient, Moses, and you only will be sufficient when you are in me, drawing from me. Glory, the majesty, the honor, all is mine, Moses. Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. It was Moses' call. It was that defining moment. And that's what I want to return to again tonight. The second part of this call to Moses. Look again at verse number 5, the direction that the Lord gives here. Verse 5 again, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." The thought is, as we did see last night, the presence of the Lord is holy ground. Holy in that Moses is before God. I want you just to think about the holiness of the Lord for a moment. Turn with me to Exodus 15 a minute. Just go forward, 12 chapters, Exodus 15 and verse number 11. Exodus 15, verse number 11. "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness?" The attribute of God's holiness is a glorious attribute. God is holy in himself. Turn to a few verses here. Isaiah chapter 6. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah gets a view here into heaven. And the angels are before the throne. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3. It's a marvelous thing. Isaiah 6 verse 3. "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." That's the angels before the throne of glory. And they're speaking and adoring the holiness of God. Everything about God is holy. His word is holy. His promises are holy. Psalm 105, his holy promises. His Sabbath is holy, irrespective of what half the country thinks. "That commandment has never been set aside. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And the Lord gives a great promise to all that do it. Turn with me to a promise I give you tonight. Isaiah 58, 13. About the holy Sabbath. Isaiah 58, 13. Isaiah 58, 13. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath," Isaiah 58, 13, "if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth." Young person, you'll never be a loser by keeping Sabbath. You'll never be a loser by honoring the Lord and giving him that one day in seven. It's a holy Sabbath. Our pleasures, our enjoyments, they're just to be set aside for a day. And the Lord says that if we do that, He will give us those blessings that are entailed there in verse number 14. His word's holy. His promises are holy. His Sabbath's holy. His people's holy. His angels are holy. Everything about the Lord is holy. His commandments are holy. Yeah, his commandments are holy. Those Ten Commandments summarily comprehended as our children are taught in their catechism, and the Ten Commandments,
Those Ten Commandments are a revelation of the holiness of God. And sin is a violation of that holiness. Sin is a violation of that moral law. David spoke in the Psalms that the Lord loveth righteousness. Jeremiah spoke that he hated abominable things. Do not that abominable thing that I hate, the Lord said to Jeremiah, or through him. Speaking of Christ in Hebrews 1, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Understand that. Understand that. God loves to see holiness in his people. And he hates iniquity. He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Christ was wholly harmless, undefiled. Enjoyed one of our brothers in prayer in the prayer meeting. He said Christ didn't sin. But he rightly added, Christ couldn't sin. Not only, young people, did Christ not sin, not only was there no sin in him, there was a moral impossibility of Christ ever sinning. He couldn't sin. He was impeccable. It's borne out in that verse in John 14, verse 30. Just go there a moment, please. The Lord has just spoken about that hour of the powers of darkness. Gethsemane's, Golgotha's casting its shadow upon our holy Lord. And he's getting the disciples ready for this night. They're in the final night of our Lord's life. In verse 30 of John 14, he says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. Do you see that? There was nothing in Christ's holy nature by which the devil could ever seek to get a victory. But that verse is only applicable to Christ. Because there's plenty in me and there's plenty in you. The prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. And remember, there's disciples standing here, and what the Lord is saying is this, but there's plenty in you, so be careful. And young Christian, you be careful. I've seen it before. Times when people are enjoying the presence of the Lord. And I tell you, those are the days the enemy loves to come in and trip somebody up. The prince of this world will come. Because he has got plenty in you and me and that old nature within us. Where should holiness be seen? It should be seen in the church. It should be seen in the believer. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God abhors sin. Demands purity. I think it was Andrew Bonner that said, it's not great gifts that God bless us as much as Christ-likeness. When God sees Christ-likeness in a man, woman, young man, young woman, God bless us. Likeness to his Son. And back to Exodus 3, Moses hears at the bush. God says, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Oh, understand this, young people, it's a defining moment, but it's a moment marked by great holiness, marked by great holiness. Because God is here. Secondly, Christ reveals his intention here to Moses. Exodus 3 verse 6. Look at that. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abram,
the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord's making his intention clear here. He's about to commission Moses, tell him what he wants him to do. And he introduces it, I am the God of thy father. Remember that man we looked at? The first night, those godly parents of Moses, Amram and Jochebed. I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The word afraid there is translated reverence 3 times in the Old Testament. May I just say something at this point? That is the only acceptable way to behave in the presence of God. Reverence. Moses is in his presence. Reverence. Moses is hearing his word. Reverence. Moses is being spoken to by the Lord. Reverence. And I say to you, it's the only appropriate attitude in the presence of God and hearing the word of God. See, we walk into God's house. God's house is not a theater. It's not a pantomime. We are going to give our worship to the living God. But don't get me wrong here. I like a laugh at the Vestas. I was in a house in Ballymena yesterday, and as we would say in the town, the crack was 90. But there's a time and a place for the crack to be 90. And it's not been addressed by God. It's not hearing His word. It's before the Lord Moses is here. And it says Moses hid his face, he was afraid. You can literally read it, he was reverent. And it gave this fear of looking upon the Lord. And then the Lord gives more light. I have surely, verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And verse 8, and I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now go down, young person, to verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And those words in verse 10, come now, therefore, in light of what I've told you about what's going on in Egypt, the Lord's saying, come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Now, when the Lord said to Moses, come now, therefore, Moses is fully aware in that moment that God has a mighty work for him to do. Moses is fully aware also in that moment that that killing of the Egyptians 40, or that of the Egyptian 40 years earlier had not excluded him. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Did you ever think of the place he was being sent to? The Lord's intention here is to send them back into Egypt. The place he fled from. The place of his failure. Remember in Acts 1, when the church and the disciples were gathered in the upper room and the Lord told them to tarry. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you've endued with power from on high, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. That's where how he start. What was Jerusalem to the disciples? Well, it was the place of the crucifixion, we understand that.
But it was the place of their great failure. It was the place where Peter did take the ear of Malchus. It was the place where Peter denied Christ. But it was the place where they were to begin. And Moses has been told here, Moses, you are going back to Egypt. You're going back in as my servant. You're going back into the place you fled from. And you're going back in to bring my people out. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. It brings the response that the call of God usually brings from every heart that receives it. Because the Lord, having made his intention clear here, the Lord hears next of Moses' trepidation. Look at verse number 11 with me. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? I want you to note here, young people, there's a massive difference in the Moses here and the Moses of 40 years earlier. There's a massive difference in this man. Look at it with me 40 years earlier. Let's remind ourselves. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 11. Here's 40 years earlier. He's come out of Pharaoh's house. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Go to verse number 16. He's had to flee from Egypt. But look at verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. Chapter 2, verse 16. And they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. But now we have Moses. And it seems to be that any confidence in his own ability is now gone. And it's now that he's ready. It's now that he's ready to be used by God as an instrument in the hand of God. I gave you the breakdown of Moses' life. I don't even remember where I read it. I read it a few places. 40 years. He trained to be somebody. The next 40, he learned to be a nobody. And the final 40, he learned to be exactly what God wanted him to be, say exactly what God wanted him to say, and do exactly what God wanted him to do. Moses said unto God, who am I? The self-confidence is gone. That I should go on to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses here is marked by a sense of his unworthiness, a realization of his own inability. And I am saying to you, when you go through the giants of the faith, you will see it time and time again throughout the book. And as I preached last night, maybe I speak to one tonight, and you have felt the call of God, and in your quiet times, and before the Lord in your own home, and maybe in meetings, God has been speaking, and this thought's come through your soul, who on earth am I? How can I do this? That's exactly what Moses was saying. Let me show you a few other people that said the exact same thing. Go to Judges chapter 6. As I said last night, the call of God is marked by the supernatural. Judges chapter 6. Look at verse 12. It's that time when the Lord met Gideon.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Go down to verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon's in the exact same place as Moses. Lord, how can I do this? How can I do this? Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1 verse 6. The first five verses, well really verse 4 and 5, the Lord was speaking and calling Jeremiah. But look at verse 6, Jeremiah 1 6. Then said I, Ah Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I want you to note something, young person. It's completely consistent with the book of God, the way you're feeling. It's completely consistent with the call of Moses. Completely consistent with the call of Gideon. Completely consistent with Jeremiah here, Moses, Jeremiah, Gideon, all greatly overcome by the task ahead and the solemnity of the call. But all their trepidation. It's all going to receive a word from the Lord. Oh, how gracious is the Lord. How gracious is the Lord. As if the Lord's saying, I know how you feel. But you have to see that since I'm calling you, I'm going to be with you. How can I do this? Moses saying. Gideon saying. Jeremiah says, I can't speak. I'm a child. It would seem to be also that Moses maybe has a little fear of man. Go back to Exodus 3, please. He's a bit worried about what others are going to think. Verse 13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. The great I am has sent me. God assures Moses when he comes before the people, it'll be okay. Look at verse 18 there of chapter 3. They shall hearken to thy voice. Don't be worrying about it, Moses. You see, young person, everybody that the Lord calls, he goes before them. He makes the way smooth. He takes all your concerns and mine and he deals with them all. And he always opens up the way for his servants. The Lord gives them a great assurance. Go to Exodus 3 again. Look at verse number 12. Moses has begun his confession of his fear and who am I? And verse 12, he said, certainly I will be with thee. Moses. I'm going to be with you. Where you go, Moses, I'll go. When you're in trouble, I'll be there. Certainly I will be with thee. What a promise. Gideon was almost told the same. Go back to Judges 6. Judges 6:16. Because it could just be there's a young person or young people here and you feel your inability. Oh, my friend, I can tell you this now, and this is not false humility. This is not false humility. Nobody feels their inability more than this guy standing at the front of this meeting. That's before God. Judges 6:16, and the Lord said unto him, surely or certainly, I will be with thee. Or you think about Moses' replacement there in the book of Joshua, and the Lord said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, and we know how he was with Moses, certainly I'll be with thee. As I was with Moses, certainly I'll be with thee. Go to Jeremiah 1. They all got this great assurance. Jeremiah 1, verse number 7. Jeremiah has just said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 7, But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my word in thy mouth. The Lord comes near to Moses, Gideon, Jeremiah, gives them a word, encourages their hearts. The Lord assures Moses that he'll be with them every step of the way. I want you to understand, young person, that's still what the Lord does. He'll not fail you. Whom the Lord calls, He's with them. He's with them. Go forward a few hundred years to the Mount of Transfiguration. A band of fearful preachers having to begin their ministry in the city of Jerusalem. Having to go into that city and preach Christ. And Jerusalem had just made it abundantly clear what they thought of Christ. They crucified him. They're going back in there. The Lord said, really in as many words, what he said to Moses. Lo, I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world. There's one here, young person, feeling the call of God upon your soul, feeling like Moses, Gideon, Jeremiah, the Apostle Paul in Corinth. He was going to quit. Lord had to say, don't hold your peace. Keep preaching, Paul. Certainly I'll be with you, the Lord's telling me. Certainly I'll be with thee. I'll be with you in the glory of who I am. My omnipotence, my unlimited might, will give you success, Moses. Look at Exodus 3, 19 and 20. The Lord actually promises him that there. Exodus 3, 19 and 20. I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I'll stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he'll let you go. Moses, when you go for me, my power will be with you. My power will be with you. My omniscience will direct you safely. Outdo all the wise men of Egypt. My omnipresence will surround you, Moses. My immutable purpose to bring these people out of Egypt will be fulfilled. Because I want you to understand something, young people. All the powers of darkness can never thwart the plans and purposes of God. You who are saved tonight, You're held in a mighty hand. And all that hell throws at you can never take you from Christ. He's omnipotent. The one that holds you can never be overpowered. He's omniscience. He can never be deceived. He's omnipresent. He can never be outmaneuvered. Trust me, young people, this world, the church, will be built in it. And I don't give two rips what happens in America, Britain, any other country you want to name. Nothing is going to ever happen that will stop the building of the church of Christ. Understand that. You're part of the greatest movement on earth. Not because you're part of it, or I'm part of it, by the way, but because of who the head of it is. Because of who it belongs to. You're part of a body that was purchased by holy blood. You're part of a body journeying toward heaven, and listen, it's a well-trodden path. Millions have already made the journey. And they're safe today. And they're happy. And they're secure. Certainly, Moses, I'll be with you. Those who have the Lord's presence, He'll encourage, strengthen, protect, defend, give success. Maybe I speak to some tonight. You're not going to be a preacher. You're not going to be a missionary. But you're perplexed. There's something down that corridor of time and you know it's coming. And there's concern in your soul. Ah, my friend, grab the promise. Certainly I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Some way maybe you have to do on your very own. The very thought of it's concerning you. There was a day in Paul's life. He told Timothy about it just before he died. Told him of a day when nobody stood with him. But he said, Christ stood with me. Stood with me that the preaching might be fully known. Delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Ah, my friend, what a promise we have here in Exodus 3. Certainly, I will be with thee. You know the story? Moses wasn't going to be wanting for his enemies. You read the rest of his life. Enemies in Egypt. Enemies among his people. But it was all going to be recompensed. The one that would walk with him. The one that would lead him. Love that hymn we sang tonight. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. What a thought that is. The Lord always goes before you. Makes the way clear. Makes the way plain. Certainly I will be with thee. The Lord also equips all that He calls. No one that the Lord calls or asks to do anything, whether in the local church, whether in outreach, door-to-door, open-air in the town centre, or further ministry, missionary, nobody is ever called by God to do anything that God does not equip to do what He calls them to do. It's God that gives the gift. God that gives the ability. Well, you understand that. And therefore, there is not one man on earth that can be proud of their gifts. Because God gave them. That's where they came from. And when that individual dies, God will just simply take those gifts and give them to somebody else. He furnishes His church. He gives men gifts of preaching, gifts of evangelism, gifts of singing different gifts. But it's God that gives them. He equips all that he calls. The Lord also gave Moses his weapons. Very quickly, I didn't realize it was 9:15. But let's move very quickly. The Lord also gave Moses his weapons. Look at Exodus 4, verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Do you see that? Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. Go to Exodus 5, verse 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Do you see the weapon Moses was given? Moses, go you in before Pharaoh and tell him, I have a word for you from God. That was his weapon. Go in before him. Thus and thus saith the Lord. You deliver that message to him, Moses. You tell him that you have a word from the God of heaven to him. That there's a throne above his. And there's a throne above Egypt. And there's a God above the false gods of Egypt. Ah, my friend, what a weapon. And then you see, once Moses would deliver that word, it becomes a matter between Pharaoh and God. I have a message for some people in this meeting tonight. Thus saith the Lord, my friend. It's time to repent and believe the gospel. Some of you in this meeting aren't saved. It's time to turn from this lifestyle. And I want you to understand that since God is the living God, and to God all men, women, young people are accountable. There are massive ramifications every time you hear the word of God. Because once the preacher, once his stumbling words have ceased, the message becomes between you and God. And it demands a response. Moses, you go in before Pharaoh and just say, thus saith the Lord. Young person, without Christ, you need to understand that tonight. Since God is the living God, and this book is the book of God, the ramifications of sitting under the Word of God are eternal. And we are accountable, as Pharaoh was, to every word we hear. The Word of God that Moses went in before Pharaoh, we understand he went in before the greatest power in that day. He went into a land that was held by darkness and wickedness. He went into a land that was full of idolatry. He went into a land where Satan was worshipped. And he was. He went into a land where Satan had a grip. But he went in with a word from God. And young people, that's still the purpose of the church on earth. Get a word from God and preach it. And leave the outcome of that word with God. Because that word will accomplish that which God pleases. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. We understand it's by the preaching of the gospel that the powers of darkness still lose those that they hold captive at their will. I want you to understand that little moment, unsaved friend. You're a captive tonight. You're a slave to sin and Satan. I don't say that to be in any way ill-bred. It doesn't sound that way. But you are that. You're bound. You're in bondage. You're a slave to your own sinful heart. Slave to your own sinful desires. A captive. But my friend, listen to me tonight. Christ breaks the power of canceled sin. Sets the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. You've got to come to Him. You need to repent, believe this gospel. Moses went in with the word of God very quickly, time's gone. He went in with the rod of God. To sum this up, the rod of God was used in Pharaoh's house, turned to a serpent, swallowed up the serpents of Egypt. It was used in the plagues upon Egypt, used at the Red Sea, used to bring water from the rock. Used when Moses went on the mount as Amalek fought in the valley with Joshua. It was there time and time again and used by God to give victory time and time again. Beautiful type of Christ and His cross. Because there alone is victory over sin. There alone is victory in the Christian life. Cross. As we draw from that victory of Christ, stand into it, live in it, draw from our covenant head. Moses went in before the greatest power on earth with the word of God and the rod of God. And all that Pharaoh had couldn't stand against him. We'll not get to the Exodus, you understand that. But there was a great deliverance. People were brought out by the blood of the Lamb. Brought out with a mighty hand. Brought out of darkness and slavery. And wickedness and all that there was in Egypt. Brought out by the Lord Himself. Let me close. Young person, maybe feeling the call of God upon your soul. Never fear to step out in that promise. The Lord says, certainly I will be with thee. And if He's calling you, He has a plan for you. And He has a place for you. And He has a people for you to lead. And He has a work for you to do. And you'll have your opposition. But that will be a million times made up for by the One that walks with you. The One that will say, certainly I'll be with you. you take the book and preach it. Even to the dark lands of this world, wherever the Lord leads you. Cold at heart? Some. And you know you're here tonight and you've had better days as a Christian. Maybe in some of these meetings, the Lord's been putting His finger in the sand. And you're the Lord's and you know it, but you're playing with sin that you need to let go. Ah, young person. Remember that night Peter wept those tears? They just used language that a follower of Jesus Christ should never use. Denied His Master. But ah, His Master loved him still. And that day He sent that word, go tell My disciples and Peter. And that beautiful scene then on the beach where the Lord restored him, recommissioned him, became the great soul winner there in the book of Acts. Backslider. Time to return. It's time to return. But what about you, unsaved friend, before I close? Life at this moment in this meeting, as it were, at a standstill. The Lord says, repent. Believe the gospel. Come to Christ. Because young man, young woman, as I said, whatever night I said it, I can't remember. Death's no respecter of age. The graveyard has them all. And eternity has them all. And young person, I say to you tonight, unsaved in this meeting, for the sake of your soul, and where you'll be in God's everlasting eternity, I'm telling you now, as blunt as I can tell you, do not die in your sin. I'm telling you, don't do that. You'll be damned in an instant. That will be irreversible. You can never be recovered from this. You have a soul that will live on forever. And as I said the other night, young man, young woman, unsaved, you're alive tonight and you're alive forevermore. Aye, what great joy the little ones bring that we bring into our families. Those little infants. That we all understand when one is born. They're alive. And they're alive forevermore. They've changed their abode at some point. Young man, young woman, I'm telling you, don't die without Christ. But turn tonight. Turn right now. Come to Christ right now. And I mean now. I said this other night. I don't mean later.
I mean now, where you sit in that pew, lift your heart to God and cry for mercy. Come to Christ. Seek Him. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. While all the Lord's people are praying, just as I close this meeting, I want to put out an invitation here tonight. If there's one here and you're troubled, and you wouldn't even deny that you're a fellow traveler to eternity, you would never deny that you'll either be in heaven or hell. But at this moment, if you die, you know it's not heaven. Ah, my friend, you've got to take a step here. And you couldn't be in a better place. There's people here, they love you. There's people across this meeting, I got asked to stand up and they'd say, yes, preacher, there was a night in my life I sat in a meeting like this, but thank God I came to Christ. Come to Him now. Call upon Him, just where you sit there. Say, Lord, save me. I'm the sinner, but Thine is the cleansing blood. I'm the guilty, but Thine is the righteousness. Wash me and cleanse me. Cover me in that robe. And sail in the wild seas no more. Ah, my friend, come to Christ. And if you have prayed that, I'm going to go down to the door. You come out there and you say, preacher, I'd like to talk to you. We can get into a room. It'll be private. It'll be confidential. Or a backslider. Father, in the quietness of these moments, pray that the Spirit will brood on over the gathering. Give deciding grace. Bind every lying suggestion of hell in these moments. Bring souls through for God. Restore the backslidden. Furnish the church's table by sealing the call to service. O God, hear prayer. Hear prayer. Accept our thanks for the good things provided. Then take us to your homes in safety. Give journeying mercy on the roads for all these young people. Bring us again tomorrow night. Let the tide rise. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God and Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with all that love the Lord Jesus, tonight and forevermore. Amen.